is a military vet, a fabulous podcaster, and now I'd like to thank a friend of mine. I was on his show a little while back, but today I have the pleasure of having Donald Dunn on my show. Donald, welcome to the show. I heard a puppy.
Yeah, my car alarm is actually going off.
Oh, no. So, Donald, how have you been? I heard you just had your book released.
I did about a week ago. I released the book that I originally wrote for my kids to kind of give them an idea of what I went through and why they seen such a drastic change in me from the time that they were little to the time of their pubic years. So,
wow. Yeah. And you're the host of Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room. I love the title. And you were in the Army for 20 years. You've had PTSD. You were deployed for 68 months. You had this fascinating history and incredible life. I'm so glad you were able to put it down on paper and actually write your story just for your kids that the rest of us now can enjoy too.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope a lot of people, you know, the biggest thing that I hope people take from this, and in the book, I talk about this a lot. I don't know what the right answer is. You know, would my life had turned out different if I had these conversations more openly with my wife? She knew that there was things wrong, and I blocked her out, and that just helped push that divide further between us. And they never dealt with PTSD or anything like that. So yeah. I was just that guy that was turning into a dick that nobody wanted to talk to. And I thought I was doing the right thing by not sharing this information, you know, because it wasn't pleasant stuff that we would have been talking about. And I didn't want my kids to know about it.
Right.
You know, had we had that conversation, you know, would there have ever been a need for the book? I don't know. You know, and that's one of the things that I want people to take from this is they have to decide for themselves what is right and wrong. But just know, look at the path that I went down. And a lot of it came from not having that communication, you know,
absolutely,
keeping it all bottled in. And so maybe if it's not them that you can talk to, maybe you need to find somebody else. But it won't get better over time. And the idea was that maybe family members could read the book and see, you know, the changes that happened in me and maybe take something from it and figure out what's going on in their household.
Right. You were deployed for so long. You were separated from your family for so long. You had to go through so much for so long. And you didn't have anybody to really turn to. I mean, when you're on deployment, it's not like they set up nice little rooms with air conditioning and couches it for you to lay on so that you can sit and talk to a therapist.
Yeah, no, I wish, you know, we could have invaded like a place like Ireland or England, someplace nice. You know, my recruiter always told me, he said, you're going to see the world. And he just left out the part about the third world. So especially my last deployment, you know, my last deployment, I was the senior person there. I had nobody to vent to. So I couldn't talk and complain to people below me. And I kind of kept myself isolated away from them. So I wasn't intermingling because it can affect decisions. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I think that deployment, even though I didn't see as many bad things there as I had in other places, I think that place affected me more. Because when I got home, I was doing the exact same thing. I would come home, eat dinner, and head to the bedroom. And that's where I stayed the rest of the night, watch TV in there, because it's the only place I felt comfortable. I didn't even feel comfortable anymore sitting with my own family, you know. But that was, you know, after that deployment was over with, that put me at 68 months total that I had deployed.
My goodness. And you were 59 months in Iraq and Afghanistan, 9 months in Bosnia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Out of all of that, did you have anything good and wonderful and humorous come from it? Or was it all disaster?
No, I mean, with anything, we use the word humorous in a loose way, because veterans, we do kind of have a dark humor. And I think a lot of that comes from that's the way we deal with things. So sometimes near death experiences later, we're laughing about it, just to kind of to cope and deal with it. So I do remember this one time in Bosnia, and we were out on a mission, and we'd stopped, and there are all these kids around the truck, and I had some envelopes and stuff like that in the car, and I was just, or the truck, I was just chucking them out to the kids, and the kids were yelling, "Give me bonbon," which means give me candy. And I, to be kind of mean, I guess, and I didn't know it was going to turn out this way, but it was still kind of funny. I took a dollar bill and I held it up, and then I dropped it back down, and then I picked up an envelope and went and sealed it, but I didn't put the dollar in it, and I chucked it out. It looked like WWE in a cage match, because these kids went at it, and one kid grabbed a hold of it, and another kid went to take it from him, and he elbowed that kid right in the face and took off running. And then he opened up the envelope and seen there was nothing in it, man. He started flipping me off and doing the old symbol, and but it was kind of funny.
Oh, and my gosh.
I did end up throwing the dollar out there, you know, for them to fight over it again, because it was kind of entertaining. But yeah, at the end of the day, the soldiers, the stuff that we did to entertain ourselves was just, a lot of people can't relate to it. You know, we would capture things like camel spiders and scorpions and stuff and make them fight in a box and stuff, and just the stuff to keep you entertained. You know, idle hands is definitely the devil's playground. That's for sure. And yeah, when you're used to being outside the wire and not having, living by a whole different set of rules, which are non-existent. And then when you get some downtime, that's when you start coming up with ways to entertain yourself. And
right,
that happened to be one of them, was, you know, animal fights and trapping weird snakes and stuff like that. So
We have a weird history of that, humanity does, of keeping ourselves entertained through these various routes.
Yeah.
So once you got back and you found yourself having this difficult time with being around your family again, when was it that you decided that something needs to change?
So I think everybody has that aha moment. And if you don't ever get to the point where you realize you need help, the universe is going to put you in that crossroads to where you have to decide which way you go. For me, I had already gotten out of the military. When I got out, I was contemplating suicide. I was didn't want to be around people, families. I ended up starting my own business as a trucking company, and put myself in a truck, driving 11 hours a day, sleeping out on the road for 6 weeks at a time, and not even realizing it was probably the worst thing that I could have ever done, because all I did was think. I was in my head nonstop. And when I was home, I really wasn't home. There was times I even found myself intentionally saying I couldn't make it home, and I would sleep in my truck 40 miles from the house and then head back out to work, just because the anxiety of going home was too much. And so I there was one time I came home because there was a hurricane, and in my house was my wife, my son, my daughter, my son's girlfriend, her sister, their kids, her mom, my cousin, my brother, all in my house, because everybody else lived in trailers. So they all came into my house. We boarded up the house. The hurricane, it was a couple days before people could really start moving around again. And the anxiety was, I was a wreck. And I decided to go for a walk, and I had left. And when I came back, it didn't help. The anxiety was still there. I wanted to fight, and my temper was there. And when I came back, my son and my wife had gotten into it, because my son wanted to leave, and there was still curfews around because there was down power lines and everything else. And so me and him got into it, and it about turned physical. My wife had to break it up, and I threw my son out of my house the day after a hurricane. And that was the point where I knew I had been wrong. The problem isn't everybody else. The problem was me. And I had destroyed my family, financially, emotionally. Should have never started a business. I wasn't in any mental capacity to effectively run it. Could I work it? I could work it, but I couldn't run it. And those are two different things. And so that's when I still couldn't swallow my pride and go to the VA because I had already told them to F off. And that's why I hadn't even filed a claim 3 years after leaving the military, because I got into an argument with one guy. I mean, that's just to the shape that my temper had gotten into over me just asking a question and him telling me I had to have an appointment to ask a question. That's what the argument was over. So for 3 years, I didn't file a single claim. Like, I'm going to prove a point to somebody because they're not paying me. I mean, there was no thought process in my head. There was
Yeah.
no reaction, you
They're
know?
not going to care if you file a
No.
complaint or not.
No. If anything, that's they're
It's better
happy.
for them.
Yeah. You know, but I didn't think that way, you
Yeah.
know? And
Yeah.
it was all about my temper and my pride and everything else. And so I went to a civilian therapist because I still wasn't ready to go file claims and everything else. And that's when, you know, I realized, I didn't realize it until after he put me on medication and I had leveled out. And that's when I looked around and seen the damage that I really did, which hurt even more because now I have to deal with it. I can't just have those no feelings anymore. Now I have to deal with it. And financially, I was going downhill. Me and my wife, you know, we're still together, but we were never really together, you know, because I stayed away so much. And so it was tough, you know. And then from there, I learned a lot about what I was going through. And seeing some of the symptoms that PTSD and depression can cause, has led to me eventually getting help and the podcast taking off and me closing my business and moving forward. So.
Wow. And that's not easy. I mean, for one, to hold your marriage together after all of this.
Yeah.
But then, you know, to accept that yes, you do need help and you can't do this alone and you're not an island. You're not alone in what it is that you've been through. I mean, therapy's huge. And podcasting is totally therapy for me too.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I owe a lot to it because it wasn't just the, you know, when people find out about the nonprofit that I'm building, I think they kind of misconstrue what I'm saying. I don't think the act of podcasting is true therapy, right? What I do think is it gets you talking and it allows you to make a little bit more room from all that stuff that you had packed inside you until you can get to a point that you're ready to do the work and start analyzing yourself. You can't do that alone. It's going to take some sort of group therapy, either with like-minded people. And that's another thing that podcasting can do is associate you. For me, it has associated me with a lot of other veterans that are amazing people and are in the same boat. And those are lifelines that I can call when I'm feeling bad, and they can call when they're feeling bad. And that's what podcasting has done, you know. No different than songwriting, book writing. I mean, all of these are programs that are under our nonprofit that we're starting. But at the end of the day, it's about keeping you talking, keeping you actively engaged in analyzing yourself and what's going on. And by doing that, you're living to fight another day. Because the alternative is you stop talking, you stop using any means of communication, whether it be podcasting, writing, songwriting, any of that, and you go back to isolating yourself. And at some point, you're going to be standing at those crossroads too. And there's only two choices. There's to fix it or to end it. And I don't mean ending it in a positive way. You know, when you get to those crossroads, that's where it is. You either have to go down a road that is going to be tough, that requires you to fix it, or you go down another road that is going to permanently fix something that should be temporarily.
And I'm pretty sure you're aware of the film. Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
I think there's not too many people alive now that haven't seen this film. A lot of people don't realize that he went off to war and he had severe PTSD from the stuff that he experienced and saw and did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life was his first film back in the movies after World War II. And that moment where he's standing there at the bridge, it chokes me up every time. That moment when he's standing there at the bridge and he is absolutely losing his crap, man. He is ready to end it all. What so many people watching that movie don't realize was that was not Jimmy Stewart acting. That was him reaching that breaking point of his own.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody, you know, and this is the other part too. I think it's human nature that we compartmentalize. We see this, right? And so in my podcast, there was a time where I had a British soldier. He was in the military, but he was from Britain. And we had him on to discuss the difference of Afghanistan as a British army soldier compared to an American army soldier, right?
Yeah.
At the end of it, you know, we talked about his podcast and he said, yeah, he said, my podcast is a little bit different. It's mostly about mental health. I said, oh, I said, you got one about mental health? He said, yeah, he said, we've got too many soldiers that are killing themselves. And that's when the blinders kind of came off there for a minute. And I said, holy cow, this isn't an American soldier problem. And then I got to thinking about it. You know, I kind of went down this little rabbit hole and I'm like, I wonder if the people that I was shooting at are now over there killing themselves or having PTSD. You know, it makes you wonder. Because that's when you, for the first time, you realize this is a human problem. Your occupation has nothing to do with it. Trauma is trauma is trauma.
Absolutely.
The triggers within PTSD may differ from person to person, but the depression and the overall symptoms are going to stay the same.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, if we wind the clock all the way back to World War II again, you know, we're looking at the Germans as bad guys. A lot of people who are fighting in the German army were told, if you don't fight for us, you're going to die and your families are going to die.
Yeah.
They went through that exact same thing at the end of the war too. They had severe PTSD. They felt absolutely terrible for the things that they were forced to do.
Yeah.
And many, many did not survive the PTSD. They took their own lives.
Yeah. It was the same for Iraq when Saddam was there, you know. You know, there people, we were actually releasing people. People were surrendering just instantly. As soon as they would see us, they would throw their guns down and put their hands up because we were feeding our prisoners better than what they were being fed.
Wow.
And it was the same thing. If they had gotten caught doing that and Saddam had lived through the war, their family members, he would have killed their family members and anybody else that they could have for them to do it. So, yeah, it's not everybody's evil. I talk about this in my book as well. I do believe in balance more so now than I ever have. I believe without evil, you can't have good. Without sad, you can't have happy. There has to be a balance to keep the world flowing. And so I do believe in evil, and I do believe that some of the people that we have encountered are evil. Maybe they're being controlled to do it. I don't know. Or humans are just capable of being that evil, one or the other. I don't know which it is, you know. No, I'm not saying I've seen demons and stuff like that, but it's just hard to believe some of the stuff that we've seen over there that a human being is capable of doing.
Humans can get really dark, man. So what is the name of your charity? What is it that you're doing?
So the actual nonprofit is called Heroes Voice Media Foundation. And underneath that, we have three projects. One, the main one is Gun Room Radio. It's our radio station. There's a country station, a country channel called Semper Fi Country. There's a rock channel called Ranger Rock Wave. And then we have what's called Vet Mix. And then we have also our podcasting program, which is called Military United Podcast Streams. And then we got the new program that we just launched a few months ago called Words from Warriors. And that's for authors and bloggers and people that are writing magazines. We've actually got a magazine coming out. And I think since we last talked, we now have a Roku channel. So
wow.
anybody that has Roku, we have a channel. It's called Military United Podcast Streams. And podcasters that are trying to take this further, we have opened it up for them to be on there. Our musicians that have created music videos, we got what's called MMTV, Military Music Television. And it's just a list of all the music videos from the artists that are on our station. And so everything's growing. I mean, it's reaching a lot of people.
You're doing such wonderful things. How often do veterans reach out to you to say that you've done something that's impacted them and helped them in some way?
I have had quite a few. I've now had two soldiers that work for me where I work that one of them didn't know about the podcast until he heard us talking about it. The other one seen my car out there that said two drunk dudes in a gun room in the back window. And he walked up to me and he goes, "You're Donald Dunn." I said, "Well, congratulations, you know your boss." And he goes, "No," he said, "you own that car that says two drunk dudes in gun room. That's your podcast." I said, "Yeah." I said, "We've been running it for a couple of years now." And he goes, "I listen to it all the time." He said, "A buddy of mine several months ago told me about this, and I started listening to it." He said, "It's helped me out quite a bit." And that felt good to know somebody that I didn't have to tell, "Hey, I got a podcast. I want you to listen to it," you know, put it together and came to me. And I really, that made me feel good.
That is awesome. Oh, I love that. So for people that are looking for you, you've got several different websites, several different websites. One of them is twodrunkdudesinagunroom.com. And I think you originally told me that you got the name because you were doing this with someone else. Who was that someone else?
So me and my old first aunt is who started that podcast. And where the name came from was he owned a little gun business. We both like to drink. And so we spent a lot of time in his gun room just doing reloading, building guns, shooting at the range, whatever. And so when I asked him if he wanted to start a podcast with me, he laughed. He said, "Well, what would we call it?" I said, "Well, we're pretty much in here all the time. Why don't we just call it Two Drunk Dudes in a Gun Room?" And so season one was literally filmed in his gun room. I mean, you've seen guns all over the place, parts and ammos and reloaders and everything else all around us. And we would record in there and have a few drinks. And it was just designed to bring our soldiers that we served with back in. It wasn't really designed to reach other people and be this big podcast, you know?
Yeah.
But here we are now on season three.
And then your other websites, you've got heroesvoicemediafoundation.org.
Yep. That's if you go there, you can find our link tree, and that link tree will take you to anywhere else that you want to go. If you want to listen to the radio station, you can go to gunroomradio.com. All the channels are there. You don't have to have an account or anything. There's no login or nothing. You just click on it and start listening. Then we've got wordsfromwarriors.org. And there you can also subscribe to the new magazine that will be coming out starting June 1st. And all the writers are veterans. They're all part of that program. You can purchase books from each of these authors that have wrote a book from that website as well. And then we also got militaryunitedpodcaststreams.org, and that's our podcasting program. And there you can see all the videos from the different artists or different podcasters. And then same name, if you search in the Roku store, and you can download us and watch it on TV.
Very cool. Now, when the magazine comes out, is this a digital magazine or is this going to be a paper copy?
It's eventually going to be paper. For these first few, it's going to be digital. And I mean, I think it's $8 a quarter or $25 a year. And we're going to have one come out every 3 months.
That's insanely cheap, Donald.
Yeah. It's not about the money. It's about people finding these other authors.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing it because obviously we need money to run the programs. You know, that's not what I'm saying, but that little amount will sustain the programs. And in return, people are going to find other veteran authors that have gone through similar stuff, that have told their stories, or even if they're fictional. I guarantee you, because I'm writing a fictional book right now, and I guarantee you some of my experiences are weaved into that book. But that's what it's about. It's, you know, it's about these artists getting known, and that's why it's free for the Gunroom radio station, because I want you to hear their music. And if you know somebody that's having a festival and you need a band, I want you to reach out to these guys and book these bands, because that's how we're giving back to the veteran community. You're allowing a guy that put his dreams on hold to fulfill them in front of you. And you're going to get a lot more out of it than hiring Luke Bryan or somebody else to do your festival. You know, you're going to get honest stuff, and that's what it's about. It's about putting these veterans in front of people so that they can see that there is talents, and we're more than just a guy that you put in a bottle and it says break in case of war. You know, we have dreams too. And a lot of these people were musicians before, they were writers before, they were artists before, and they put all that on hold to serve the country.
They all had dreams.
Yeah.
It has come to that point in the episode where I have to ask my very last question. It's always my favorite question because it can change depending on what you're feeling and how your day's been.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So what is one thing that you truly love about yourself that's not related to your physical appearance?
I think personally, it's my leadership skills. The fact that I care more about the people that work underneath me or with me than I do even myself. And I still have soldiers to this day that reach out to me and ask me for advice because of the leadership that I had. Even when I was going through my darkest times, I didn't put that off onto my other soldiers.
If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, please make sure you check out the episode description. You'll find links there on how you can learn more about this guest, links to connect with them on social media, and how to support the podcast. Remember, I don't get paid to do this. My boss is a bit tight-fisted, but I can say that. I work for myself.